The Lord laid a word on my heart for this morning, and I've titled it A Family with Purpose. And firstly, I love Craig and Joy's language that they brought to us afresh. It's not new. It's not something that they didn't invent it. But the fact that every time when they speak, when they post something on one of the comm groups, they will emphasize, hey family, morning family. And I think it's something that is in their hearts, just a knowing. And they live from a place of saying, we're a family. We're not an organization. We're not an institution. We're not a club. We're a family. And that makes us different, and it makes us unique to anything that this world has to offer us. And that's the first point that I want to make this morning, is to say whatever we talk about next, we're talking about in the context of a family. And we're talking about in the context of there's not jobs. So when we talk, when I talk about purpose this morning, it's not about a job. It's not about a task. It's about coming from a place of being family with one another. And for anybody that has been raised in a family, of which all of us has, some of us might be maybe a bit more dysfunctional families and not always healthy families, but you will have grown to a place where you have a sense of what family means, to be brothers and sisters of one another in that. And I won't be able to go into that this morning, but I just want to lay that foundation to say it's a family with purpose. It's not even a church with purpose. It's a family with purpose. You get that? Now, over the past 5.5 years, since we planted church, we first planted in that little restaurant. But I'll never forget that feeling on a Sunday morning when we're either still busy in a prayer meeting or I'm already inside of the building, and you see new people coming. It was just for ochend, and toe hoor ek hulle kom van die Parel af. I was so disappointed. I said it to them this morning. I said, oh, I thought it was like new couples coming into Grabouw, and collectively they decided that they're going to go to church for the first time. And it was like, Lord, this is going to fit so well into the preach this morning. But every Sunday morning, and it's a feeling that I will never be able to shake off, every Sunday morning, I was expectant. I was waiting for new families, new individuals, new people to walk into those four doors at Kingsway and now here. And every time that they walked, there was two things. There was this first thing that you wanted to get to know the people. You were interested to know who are you, who. But then there was also the second part. There was always this feeling in me that knowing that God sent you, that you weren't here just here per toeval. And with all the stories, and even in your own stories, the way that you ended up in Joshua and Grabouw, there's a very unique story to each one of you in how you ended up coming here. And I want to start off by saying that God ordains these things. God orchestrates these things. He plans these things to perfection. And He placed you and I and everybody that is here in this season, in this place, for a very specific purpose. It wasn't just by chance. There's this first scriptures, we're just going to run quickly through them. From one man He created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and when fall. And He determined their boundaries. Proverbs, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Psalms, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights to every detail of their lives. Kan ons hierdie spotlight probeer afsit dalk? I think it would just read a little bit easier on the scriptures. And so it's important for us to realize that the fact that you are sitting right here, right now, this morning, selfs die ouens van die Parel af, there's a reason why you're sitting here this morning. There's a reason why you misjudged that you didn't get up to go to Hermanus tonight, but they ended up here. There's a reason for that. And we have to ask the Lord, why? Why is it, Lord, that you placed me here in this specific place? And I want to say this, that it is also important that we also realize that, yes, God will direct your steps. God will place you where He wants to place you, and He will plan these things. But He's also given us a free will. And so as the Lord directs, we all still have choices that we need to make. And sometimes we can go against what God has planned if we make the wrong choices in that. And so it's not like a super tube. It's not like a super tube where you go down the super tube and you will end up where God wants you. You can hinder, you can distract yourself from what God has for you by not making choices that He is. And it's important for us to also realize that, but I won't be able to go into that this morning specifically. And so with all of us, and we've said this many times before, when we come together in a place like this, there's always two things that God wants to do. God wants to work in me, and God wants to work through me. That's always the case. In me is He wants to change me. He wants to transform me. He wants to do things in me. He wants to bring things out of me that shouldn't be there. He wants to work on my character. He wants to heal me of hurt and brokenness that all of us has. And then also, at the same time, consecutively, it's not that the one needs to be finished for the other one to take place. Consecutively, with God working in me, He also wants to work through me. He has certain purposes and plans and works and things that He planned for me to do. And that is always this balance between the two, how the Lord does these things in us and through us. And this morning, I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will be able to And it came out quite often this morning, and Stefan also. I don't want to plant seeds almost this morning. I almost want to trust the Holy Spirit to activate the seeds that's already been there. Because all of the things that I'm going to talk to about this morning is some things that I've preached it for 5 years. And so I know the seeds are there. And so I want to trust the Holy Spirit this morning to activate these seeds where they need to be activated. And for those seeds that have already germinated, for those seeds that are already there, I'm trusting that this word this morning will water those seeds, those little plantings of the Lord, and so that it might grow in what the Lord has for you for this next season. And I love this thing about purpose. I love this thing about purpose. And David is a guy that had so much purpose in the time that he was on earth. Everybody knows David, ne? David that wrote Psalms, ne? I'm looking for David. But there's a scripture in Acts that talks about David that I absolutely love. I don't know who it is that wrote this, but he says this. He says, "Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep." I love that. The first point that I want to make about this is the minute that you think about David, what's the first thing that you think about David when you think about David's purpose?
Taking out Goliath.
Taking out Goliath. What's another one?
To be king.
What's another one? A shepherd. Yes, that's another one. What's another one?
Running
away from Saul. But the point is, and you guys illustrated it beautifully, that David's purpose was not just a single purpose. It wasn't just one thing. It wasn't just to be king. It wasn't just to write Psalms. It wasn't just to be a shepherd boy. It wasn't just to fight Goliath. There was different facets of David's life. And every single day, and I once had a conversation with my mom that transformed my thinking about purpose. I always walked, when I was a younger Christian, I always walked and I was looking for the purpose. There should be this purpose that God has for me, this calling, and it was this big thing. And I chased it and I looked for it and I searched for it and I read books, A Purpose-Driven Life and all of these things. And I was looking for Willem's purpose in this world. And I had a conversation with my mom, and my mom helped me that day to realize that the biggest purpose that I can serve with my life is daily asking the Lord, "Lord, what do you have for me for today? What is it that you've got for me for this season, for this week, for this month, for this year? What is it that you want me to do now?" Because if you look at the life of David, he was a shepherd, he was a king, he was a servant, he was a friend, he was a sinner that needed repentance and that needed forgiveness. He was all of those things, but he served his purpose. And it was multi-layered and multifaceted. So I want us all to just put our own names into that scripture. So where's the next one, the next slide? "For when Willem have served God's purposes in his own generation, he fell asleep." Put your name there. Read it out loud for yourself. And put your own name there. And lees it hardop for yourself. Is that not something that we want to be written on our tombstones one day?
When Willem have served the purposes of God in his generation, in that season, because I don't know when the last season will be for me. I don't know when my last day on earth might be for me. So I want to know that today, not someday where I've got my purpose, not the purpose way down in the future. I'm talking about my purpose now, today. I want to serve my purpose today. And I want that to be written on my tombstone one day. The second thing that we also need to know is, and I'm going to go to a scripture just now, we all, this world will tell you, again, if we look at purpose from a worldly perspective, it will be around you, me, myself, and I, my purpose, what I need to do. The Bible's got a different version of this. It's about the us. It's about the we. It's about the purpose that we serve together. And yes, there is individuals, and we're going to talk about that just now. There is an individual function that each one of us have, an individual purpose. But it is always the bigger picture. It's always about the family. It's always about the us and the we that I serve. I don't serve my purpose. I serve our purpose and God's purpose for us as a family. So the scripture there is Ephesians. Let's go to that quickly. For we, look at the we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, in which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's a collective thing, it's an us. And so it doesn't happen outside of this church. And I'm sorry for guys that sometimes wants to do this thing solo and feel that they don't need church. Church is God's design. And it is within the church and from the church and from within the church that we will find our true purpose, even in your workplace, even in your workplace. So it is here where you get to be built up and where God gives you giftings and all of these things. And then we get to live it out in the different areas, in church, but also out of church. So don't get stuck in. It's not just about full-time ministry and doing ministry and just here on a Sunday morning. Wherever you might find yourself, even with your family members, you're serving your purpose, it starts here. Stimulus arm. Pratik nonsense. So I want to ask you this morning, who wants to walk in the purposes of God in this next season? Yes. Huh? Are you ready for walking in the purposes that God has for you for this next season? I've listed six things, and this is the next is going to be two parts. Okay, I've got six things that I'm going to list you, the purposes, and there's a lot more, but these are within these, all of the purposes that we can serve is within these. The first one is loving God. There can be no greater purpose for any Christian follower of Jesus' life than to love God. It all starts there. That's why the Bible says it's the first and the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength and all of your everything. Love God. But it's easy to say love God. What does it mean to love God? And I want to teach on this, but I want to say loving God means much more than just worshiping Him here on a Sunday morning or putting on a worship song and experiencing His presence. Loving God is also opening up your life. Opening up your life to Him to do certain things in you and to sometimes to krap waar dit ek nie and to sometimes go to places where you don't want to go and sometimes to change things in you that you don't want to really go to and allow Him to sometimes steer you and direct you into places where you don't want to go and ask something of you where you don't want to do, that is also loving God. And probably one of the most important things than loving God is allowing Him to truly surrender and submit. That is what it means to love Him. And together with that, because God is not physically, He's not like Craig and Joyce sitting here where we can have God will use people in your life. So loving God also means loving His ways. And one of His ways is using leadership in your life. And so when we have Craig and Joy that's going to be leading or is leading the congregation of Grabeau, if you truly love God, you will love the ways that God have in putting over you a leadership that can lead and shepherd and guide you into these things. And so one of the things, if you want to truly say, I love God, then you will love your leaders and you will surrender and you will submit to them to help you and to guide you and to shepherd you into these things. Because sometimes it's easier to have the relationship with God, but when a leader now comes and they need to bring a rebuke or they need to bring a correction, so that my boss said, what? Wie is hy om dit vir my te kom vertel? What's a nonsense is that, you know? And then we get offended and we get all kinds of different things. But if we love God and if we love his ways, we will recognize the leaders that he's placed over us and that we will honor and we will submit under them and we will strengthen them. Because if we do that, the Bible says then they will be of benefit to us. Is that good? Second point is loving people. And I'm not going to go long into that. It's about, we talk about that the past few weeks. Craig started off talking about friendships and partnerships. So loving people is creating and putting yourself in a position where you create bonds and relationships and partnerships with your fellow brothers and sisters in the church. That's about loving people. I'm not going to go that, but if that's such a great purpose. Discipling one another as well is so important. If we truly love people, and that's one of the greatest purposes that we can ever serve in the church, is discipling someone and allowing someone to disciple me, is rubbing off on one another and being there for one another. But I'm not going to go into that again. The third one is in any family, any household, gaan af skorrelgoed was wat gewas moet word. There's always chores to be done in the family. And so there's always going to be stuff that needs to be done. On a morning like this morning, the chairs need to be put out. We need to put out the sound equipment. We need to take out the chairs. There's always chores. And one of the purposes that we get to serve the Lord with is being a willing servant. And we said this last week, all of us wants to be called a servant because it sounds so nice, but are you willing to be treated like a servant in the house of the Lord? And that's where the heart sometimes comes in. And so the third purpose that we can serve within this is being a willing servant. The fourth thing, and I especially wore my t-shirt this morning for this point. Let's talk about Jesus. The one thing that Josh Jen Grabeau desperately needs, the purpose that desperately needs to be fulfilling, is having people to be brave and bold in this next season to share the gospel of Jesus with the people that need it most, and that is the world outside. We need to be brave and we need to be bold. We need evangelists, but not just evangelists with the anointing of evangelism, just people that's willing to talk about Jesus. If you find yourself at work, if you find yourself at Spar, if you find yourself here, I don't care where, we need people that is bold and brave enough to testify about Jesus. This church will grow like you've never seen it before. And I'm not just talking about numbers. I'm talking about exactly this thing about having an impact wherever we go and having an impact in this valley. It will grow in its influence in this valley if we take up our role and our responsibility and our purpose in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that need it most. The fifth thing, I'm going through this quite quickly. I can't buy impressions. The first thing, and it's often so neglected, because a lot of us hide behind the third thing, and that is doing the chores. If you are hiding behind doing the chairs and the sound or whatever it is, that's not it. That's not your main purpose. That's not the end of the story of serving the church and serving the body. One of the most beautiful things that we can serve and to serve one another and the purpose is to bring our spiritual gifts to one another and serve one another and the Lord with that. 1 Corinthians 12. A spiritual gift, what is it? Is given to each One of us. To who has it been given? To Craig, ne? Or to the leaders. Sorry, the leaders, not just Craig. Joy het ook 'n gift daarom, gelukkig. And Shane has got a gift because he's a comm leader, so he has to have a gift. But the rest of us, julle moet leiers word voordat julle kan gifts hê. Is that true? Every one of us, if you've given your life to Jesus, you have a gift. Punt. There's no, if you've given your life to Jesus and you've got the Holy Spirit in you, I don't care how old you are, whether you be, and this is so amazing, and I want to honor these two people again. The first time when they walked into Grabow, and they were, and I love their attitude, their posture in their hearts, is that they came here and they said, we are ready to serve the Lord in this last season of our lives. We need to serve the Lord. Like Tani Kuba and Andrew. The minute that they walked in here, and you know what they served, because they, physically they were not the guys that would be able to put out the speakers and lay out the tables. They did. They did. But you know what they served us with? Is the gift of faithfulness. Hulle is altyd hier. Even when we had the taxi thing, sometimes the taxi would come in and there's net julle tweetjies with the new taxi sit, and then it was so beautiful. It was, they served us with the gifts that the Lord gave them. Tani Kuba with her love, she loves. Andrew, he sometimes talks as if all of the kids is his kids. This is an almal is my kinders. But they served us with their gifts, and all of us. Sorry, I can go for my pint off. Let's go to the scripture again. 1 Corinthians, each one of us, to help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. When last did we have a healing in this house? Where's the healers? Where's the people that carries the gift of healing? Why aren't you coming to the fore? Why aren't you coming and bringing your gift to the body? Serve your purpose with the gift that the Lord has given you. En voor tog, dis nie 'n vingerwys nie, hoor. It's encouragement. He gives one person the power to perform miracles. There's some of us that's sitting in this room and God has given you, and it's not your superpower. We're not super, it's not Superman and Spider-Man and that. It's not your power. It is the Holy Spirit working through you. You've got no part to play in that except in being obedient. You pitch up. You literally pitch up. You come, you stand in front of a person and you pitch up. And the grace of God, the anointing of the Lord flows through you and does something through you. That's it. It's willingness and obedience. It's all it takes of you. But it serves a purpose, a beautiful purpose within the body. To perform miracles. And another, the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. I'm hoping the discerners amongst you will feel that my preach this morning is of the Lord. Still another person is given the ability to speak in the unknown language, and while another given the ability to interpret what has been said. It is the one and the only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Serve the body. Serve Lord Jesus with your with the purpose of bringing your gift to the body. The last one. In this next season, Craig and Joy is going to need people to stand up, to be brave, and take responsibility with them for certain ministries and certain areas of the church. To carry some weights under their guidance and under their wing, and with Craig overseeing, there's always this thing. But they're going to need people to help carry weights with them. And how do you carry a weight? Spiritually, I'm not talking about how do we carry weight spiritually? In prayer. One of the most biggest purposes that you can ever serve is to wake up in the morning an hour earlier than you usually do, and you pray for this congregation, and you pray for the work that the Lord wants to do, and you pray for Craig and Joy, and you pray for your leaders, and you pray for one another.
So gepraat daarvan, ons gaan vir julle bid. Ek dink nou daaraan. Ek voel het baie sterk. Who's ever prayed for someone for healing and feel that they do have, but might have a bit of a gift for healing? Is there anybody amongst us?
Kom gou. Kom. Al drie van julle.
And the rest of us, just come around Cammy. Cammy and Chris is trusting the Lord.
Huh?
Eddie, kom bid saam met ons. We're going to trust the Lord for just to touch Cammy in this time. We're going to pray for them. They're trusting the Lord to get pregnant again. So let's just pray for them. And I'm going to ask Joy to go for it.
Oh, Father God, I pray that you'll give her the fruit of her womb. Yes. Lord Jesus, that you will come and open her womb. Lord God, if there's anything that has caused it to close, Lord Jesus, you are a God that forgives. You are a God that breaks curses. You are a God that gives children of promise. And Lord God, you wait for the exact right time to open the womb. And when your timing is perfect, that it will happen and that there will be a child of promise. And I pray, Lord, life over her womb. Healing, health, Lord God. I pray for a special anointing over her right now, Lord God, that she'll feel your presence of your Holy Spirit. Will you come, Holy Spirit? Will you come and minister to her now? Will you come and touch her in her innermost being? Will you come and restore? Will you come and make a beautiful little incubator ready inside of her body, Lord, so that a perfect little baby can be formed? Pray for both of them, Lord God, for fruitfulness, for fertility, Lord, that you will make them so fruitful. Give them what they can handle. Thank you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm thinking like twins.
Thanks, guys. The fervent prayer of a believer carries much power. Wow, I said no. Now that's taking responsibility with Craig and Joy. Now Joy prayed now, but that is taking responsibility with them. Is to carry the weight. If you know about someone that needs prayer, pray for them. Don't just say, I'm going to pray. If there's a prayer group meeting, yes, yeah, that's, Joy blessed me so much. Okay, I can't know. I have no time for this. I can tell you later my story. I have no time for this. I have to move. So, there's going to be an opportunity to take responsibility in things. We're going to need worshippers. We're going to need worship leaders in this next season. We're going to need community leaders in this next season. If the Lord is calling you to maybe higher form of leadership, eldership or deaconship or any form of leadership, we're going to need people to be willing to be put through testing, because the Bible says that a leader needs to be tested. And so there's a call this morning in my own heart towards you guys to say, There's a lot of gifting, but there's also leadership that God has put in. There's a calling of leadership on many of you that is sitting in this place. And are you willing to submit yourselves to a process where Craig and Joy can work with you? And the Lord can purify some areas and work in some areas. And when the time is right, to step into what the Lord has for you. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? If there is a calling on your life for leadership, are you willing to do that? Or are you going to say no? It's not for me. And I'm going to talk about some things. What are the things that makes us sometimes walk away? What are the things that sometimes hinder us from turning, not turning away, but it's almost like sometimes we get fearful. There's many, many different. I'm going to just go through a few things, and it's going to take me about an hour and a half just to get through them. I had this last scripture before I go on to the things that prohibit us, and sometimes is the enemy of what God wants to do, the purposes of the Lord.
And it came out this morning. I think it was Stefan that read it. And it is in my notes, Matthew 9. Let's read it quickly. Jesus traveled through all the towns and the villages in that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness, very much the picture of what the church should look like. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. How many people in your life do you know that is confused and helpless and he doesn't know Jesus in this time? And like sheep without a shepherd, and he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields." And I'm telling you this morning, Grabo, there's a harvest in Grabo and in Elgin. And I'm asking you, I'm encouraging you, I'm pleading with you that to come and say, "Lord, I am available to be used by you to bring in this harvest that the Lord has." So, yeah. What are the things that's going to come against you? And I'm ending off with that. That is the last part of the preach this morning. There's this tension always of being underqualified and overqualified almost. There's always this balance that we need to, because some people will feel underqualified. Ek is nie goed genoeg nie. I don't have what it take. I don't have the talent. I don't have that. My lewe is nog nie heeltemal reg nie. There's always this feeling sometimes with people that I'm underqualified. Then we've got scriptures that actually talks about, and there's this one scripture in 2 Timothy. Let's just look at this. It's just, if you keep yourselves pure, which is a high standard, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, again, it kind of sets the bar rather high, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Now, when you read that even myself, I'm disqualified I'm excused from doing anything for the Lord, because I'm not fully pure. I'm not fully clean. The Lord is constantly busy with me. And so we need the rest of Scripture sometimes to interpret what Scripture is saying. And what the Scripture is saying is not that we have to be pure, because we are pure. We are justified in Christ. The minute that we gave our lives to Jesus, the Bible says we became a new creation and we were made new in Him. And so when God looks at you, He doesn't see your sin and He doesn't see your faults and He doesn't see your weaknesses. He sees His Son working in you. And He sees His Son giving you a gifting and giving you the ability that you don't have in yourself. And that's where I said earlier, that's where the choice comes in. You can either work with Him or you can work against Him. That's going to be your choice. And that scripture speaks more about the choice that we have to work with Jesus or to resist the work that Jesus has in you. And for those that are willing to work with Jesus and to partner with Jesus and with the church and with the leaders that's in your life, you will become a utensil of special purpose in the kingdom. Let's balance it out with a second scripture. For you have been partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you were first heard it until now. And I am certain, I love that, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ returns. God is busy with each one of us. All that He asks is, partner with Him. If there's sin in your life, deal with it and allow the Lord to deal with it. If there's something that the Lord is highlighting, some baggage that you are bringing with you, some insecurity, some hurt, some anger, some unforgiveness, deal with it. Don't get stuck there. That is what that scripture talks about. So allow the Lord to work through you. Okay. The second one that I'm going to do is, I want to put up a picture. Who knows who that is? Yeah. Maar jy moet dan spoil it now. You should. Jy moet nie die regte antwoord gekry het nie. Jy moet nou wonder. Niemand het gehoor wat Craig nou net gesê het. I forgot there's all Josh Jenner's in the house. Now for you who don't know, and the point is I was hoping that none of you, wie dan nie herken nie, steek hom net op jou hand. Who didn't, okay, dankie tog. No, I'm just teasing you. What is her name though? I don't even know her name. I know it's Andrew's mom. It's Andrew Selly's mom. And the second point that I have is that often the enemy will come to tell you that your purpose is insignificant. That what you are about to do for the Lord is so small and so insignificant, and then you end up not doing what the Lord is instructing you to do. And I want to say to you that anything that comes from the Lord, any purpose, any task, any mission in the kingdom can have great significance. Don't you be the one to judge if it's a big work or a small work, or if it's a significant work or an insignificant work. I wanted to make sure of my facts this week, and so I sent Andrew's. I didn't want to ask Andrew directly. He's in the United States, and I think he slap us ons wakker is. And so I messaged his sister, and I said, "Listen, I want to use her as an example, but I want to make sure of my facts. Did your mom play a big role in the fact that Andrew got saved?" And she told me this story that both her mom and her dad often, especially in the days when Andrew went a bit off the rails, into drugs, and I know Jeanette, she was also a little bit off, unsaved at some point. And they said many times they will come into the room, and either her mom or her dad would be on their knees, and they would be praying for them. And what if, I'm thinking that, what if that purpose that lady served in the Lord's kingdom, in just praying for her son, was actually the starting point of 412 and Josh Jen and whatever we're seeing here today? What if she never prayed? What if she gave up? What if she took her eyes off of Jesus and looked at her son that is in drugs and in the occult, and she just gave up on the whole thing? But she served her purpose and didn't look at if it was a big or a small thing. She kept her eyes on Jesus. And there's Luke 8. My mom shared this earlier in the week on the comm group. Luke 8, this is a bunch of ladies. So ladies, listen up. Joanna, the wife of Jejuza, what they call Herod's business manager, what a weird word in the Bible. Susanna and many other ladies were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. We will never know what that support meant to Jesus on earth. We will know one day. But don't make it insignificant. And then on the other hand, and again, in submission with your elders, because they are the ones that's going to help you make sure that it doesn't become ambition, something that you are grasping at. But I'm talking to our young adults. I'm talking to Lyndon, die manne wat daar aan die agterkant sit, en Dylan, en julle twee ook nog, julle is ook nog reg. I'm talking to the young adults when I say, dream big. Dream big. When I never thought we would be able, ever in my life, I never contemplated the fact that we would ever plant a church. And I want to say to you, dream big. All you in submission, because they will help you to make sure that it doesn't become something that becomes ambition. But dream big. John 14. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me, look, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Even greater works. Jesus is not looking for the right people with the right abilities and the right talents. He's looking for obedience and willingness. Ephesians 3. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I'm closing off. We planted church 5.5 years ago, and a lot of you guys journeyed with us from the start. Sharon and Tani, Linda, and a lot of you guys, Ewingis and Alice, you guys journeyed for us very much from the start. And when we were singing the song at the end, the last worship song, How Great Is Our God, and I couldn't stop crying, because there was something in me. I know myself. I know my limitations. I know where we were as a family, and I want to just read some of these things to you. And again, it's not that I'm boasting. It's not that I'm saying, ja, voor jy toch, kyk wat het ons alles deurgemaak. That's not the point. The point that I want to make is to say, how great is our God that regardless of whatever circumstances and challenges, that He gets to do things through us. So 5.5 years ago, we planted a church. And we didn't have any church plant experience, any church leading experience at all. We did a church plant course with Andrew Selly, but that was like head knowledge. It's like knowledge. It wasn't any practical thing. So we just had that. That's all we had. We were barely prayed in as deacons. We didn't serve as deacons yet because then COVID hit. And so during COVID, we planted church. We weren't able to sing. We weren't able to do anything. So basically everything was against us at that point. But the Lord told us, and I think we were just stupid enough and we planted church. We didn't know any better. Our daughter was 7 years old and my son was 2 years old. So we had a very, very young family. And for those of you that have young families, youngster running around and Inga says, and I want to honor my wife. You know how many Sundays she came to church just to look after the kids at church. But she was there to support what the Lord was doing through us. And as much as people come and they say, yes, you Willem did, then Willem did. She was one of the main reasons why I got to fulfill my purpose in this last 5 years, because she was there. And I want to honor her for that and doing with our kids. I just remember those times when Vian was still small and Avalini still sitting. But she came. And I gaan hulle uit and dan kom hulle weer in. And it was just a wild time. Both myself and Leonie have high demand jobs. I run several departments within our company. She runs the books of all the companies within the group. It's 10 sets of accounting books. How she manages to keep her head straight on, I've got no idea. But we had full-time jobs, and with full-time jobs, we also planted a church. Just to add some spice to it, I also bought a piece of land next to our house and started a vegetable garden and started farming, you know, just for an added extra. Just for in case ons nie al klaar genoeg goeders gehad het nie. You see, in the 5 years, and I want to actually read this off, in the 5 years that we led, and again, this is not boasting. I'm trying to tell you that there's nothing in your life that you can tell me as a reason why you cannot serve the purposes of God. Because we faced most, if not anything. In the 5 years we led, we faced hard spiritual ground that needed to be breaking. Gabon in the Elgin area is difficult spiritual ground. There's denominational churches that has grew, and we all grew up in them, that have a completely different way of doing church than New Testament church shows us. And there's certain things that is just difficult to break through, difficult to break mindsets and molds and people thinking in a specific way. There was countless hours with people as we had to find relationship with each person. When you plant a church, you're it. You build the relationship with each single person that comes to church. There's very little team at that point. And so we had to spend hours and hours of braais after braais. Ek het hierdie go-to, ek het hierdie hoender wat ek altyd in die oond gesit het, hierdie KFC hoender. That was the go-to. Wie het al dit by ons kom eet? Seker almal van julle. Dit of, nog jy nie. Okay, maar dan julle maar kom en draai maar. We had health issues. Who's got, who knows Grabou has sinus? Jylle allemaal ken van sinus, ne? Allergies. So we know what it is. We know what it is that when your one kid gets healed and just come from the antibiotics, the next kid gets snotnias. And then the snotnias becomes bronchitis. And then just when that ends, then Leonie comes. And when Leonie gets it, she gets migraines and all kinds of things in jylle huises die mekaar. But in the middle of that, we have to run a church and we have to keep on discipling and pastoring people. We know what it is. We had to face emotional challenges such as depression, anxiety attacks, insomnia. There was a whole year where I just couldn't sleep. Seizures, migraines, sinus. Like, my jylle allemaal ken het. Sink sick kinders. Also kids with special needs that we had to face. We had financial troubles. Alles daai plaasse skuld wat ek gaan staan en koop het langs ons huis. And at some point we even faced financial ruin because of that. And so we know what it is. We face challenges in our marriage. I remember there was a lot of seasons in our marriage where we became more like business partners than marriage partners. Where we were very good at making the next decision that needed to be made, but we lost one another in the process. I know what it is to have marriage issues in that. We faced opposition in our leading. Even persecution, I'll never forget. I had a meeting, they called me, the fraternity, the pastor's fraternity of Grabau called me to a meeting and they sent a representative and they saw me at the Orchard Farm stall. And one of the first things that representative of the fraternity told me, he said, listen, I just want to say that we're not going to acknowledge you as a pastor in Grabau because you didn't go and study for a pastor. I said, oh no, well, that's all right. Well, I'm okay with that. I don't like the title of pastor anyway, so that's quite all right. But we weren't always accepted. In the bigger church of scheme of things, we weren't, and sometimes there was even some persecution that came. We had disappointments. We had discouragement after discouragement after discouragement. You know how it feels when you build a church up to 50 people, and then one January, three or four families move away. It's like, whoa, and you have to start all over again. We face discouragement. I face self-doubt. There was a season where I so doubted that I was. We ended up going to Andrew Selly. We visited him in his house. And I said to Andrew, I looked him in the eye. I said, Andrew, I don't think I'm the person. I don't think we're the right people to take this thing forward. You have to send someone. We face self-doubt. I know what it feels to doubt in yourself and your abilities. Insecurity. We were most of the time strung out on capacity. We had overfull days, overfull weeks, and overfull months for most of the time. There were times when emotionally I got home after a Sunday and I had nothing to give. And then on Monday morning, work starts again and you have to start that all over again. I know what it feels like. At some point, we even had burnout. You guys remember that season? We even burned out at some stage, which wasn't the fault of the Lord. It was my own fault. I didn't listen to the advice that was given to us. It was my ears cold. But it was also a season where the Lord took us through, where he showed me my weaknesses and where I had to look at my weakness and actually go back to the Lord with that. The point is, we ended strong. Look at us now. Look at us. We're not going out limping this morning. We're not going out, face force and battle weary. As a family, and it was so wonderful having my family worshiping with me this morning. We're going out strong this morning. And we're not going out strong because we were so amazing. We're going out strong because God is so good. And that is what that song says. I know myself and I know my abilities. And when people come to us over this past 4 months and they tell us, oh, you guys did so well and you did so well, I almost want to cringe because I know it was maybe one or two or three good choices that I made, but the rest was all the Lord. It was everything was Him at the end of the day. The fact that we were able to do what we did, we cannot take blame for that. No, they're not. Credit is the word. And I want to say to you this morning in closing, we're all going to face challenges. There is going to be certain things, and there's even not just challenges. Sometimes it's the testing of the Lord. Sometimes it is the Lord that allows certain circumstances because He wants to do something in you. He wants to teach you. He wants to train you. He wants to do things through you. And I'm telling you this morning, and I can testify about so many times when you guys did the same. And so I'm not special. You did the same that I did. But a challenge can either be a stop street, and you hak vast daar so, or it can be whatever the Lord has next for you. It can be a place of positioning you training you, building you up for what He has for you. Sometimes He takes us around our challenges. Thank goodness sometimes that happens. But most of the time, the Lord wants to take us through our challenges. Because when it happens through our challenges, that is where He gets to work these things in us. And I preached a preach a few weeks about the exchange. You remember the preach where I preached about the exchange? All of these things that I spoke about, all of these challenges, became the most beautiful times in my life because I could do it with Jesus. And when I look back at all of those things, I'm not crying about them. I'm not feeling sorry for myself for them. I'm not saying, oh, this and that. I'm not moaning. I'm not grumbling about it. I'm looking back at all of those experiences. And I'm saying, if I can choose it again, I'll do it in a split second. Because Jesus did it with us. And that was worth it. That was worth it. So, we're moving on. The Engelbrechts is moving on. But I want to say, and this is our posture, and this is our attitude as a family. I've already attended my first elders meeting with Richard Gordon and the elders team in Somerset West 2 weeks ago, having our next meeting tomorrow. My first response to Richard is to say, Richard, wherever you need us. And I mean it when I say, if I need to go and sweep toilets in Somerset West again, I'll do that. If I need to lead a comm again, I'll do that. If they want me to do the youth, I'll do that. If they want me to do that, I don't care. I don't get to choose these things. But whatever the Lord has next for me and for us as a family, we'll do it. And we're ready for whatever comes next. And my question to each person that is sitting here is the same question that Stefan asked you earlier. Are you ready for what the Lord has next for you? Because there's going to be a season change, and wherever there's a season change, there's voids that comes, there's gaps that needs to be filled. As I said earlier, Craig is going to need preachers and teachers and leaders and all kinds of different things, and worship leaders. And the question is are you going to fulfill the purpose that God has for you in this next season? In this. Because we are. Might not be with you, and I'm very sad about that. I'm heartbroken about that. We love you guys. We've built up special relationships with each one of you. But I know the Lord is moving us on, and I'm ready for the next purpose that God has for me. Are you ready for the next purpose that God has for you? Can I sound but